It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Acts, and we're in the second chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 25. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. And if you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will work just fine. That was enough time now for you, hopefully, to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. I hope that you can follow along. If not, just please listen very carefully. Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 25. For David spake concerning him, I foreknew the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that is, his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which we now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Let's begin with a word of prayer before we start. Father, thank you that we have this opportunity, an opportunity to come together and to hear your precious words and allow your Spirit to speak to our hearts, to bring us to the point of salvation, of being saved. The Spirit, Father, your Spirit is the only one that can convict our hearts and show us how evil and wicked we are. How much, Father, that we need salvation, and a salvation that your Son Jesus can give, if we'll acknowledge that we're a sinner and say yes to your Son Jesus. He died on the cross for us, Father. He gave his life for us. This is what Peter's talking about, Father, here in this precious study. So please, guide and lead us, and then that same Spirit comes to live within our hearts once we are saved, born again, and we begin that walk, being led by the Holy Spirit as we open your precious Word and study it. So please, guide and lead us today, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, if you don't catch all of the study, you can go to the website, because each and every one of these studies are present on the website. Again, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org, And you can go to the Bible studies or go to the church service, whichever you prefer. And you can catch our church service, or you can catch each and every current Bible study, no matter which program that you're listening to. And so I ask that you would do that if you, again, get part of it. Maybe you get to church before it's finished and you want to finish it. You can go back and enjoy it any point in time that you'd like to, because it is all on our website. Now, we have ended, we read Psalms 89, 3 and 4, we read Psalms 132, verse 11, and now we find ourselves back in Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we need to go back there. And again, if you're not able to do this, maybe you can do it at a more convenient time for yourself. I'd love for you to open your Bible and search these precious scriptures out. 2 Samuel chapter 7, and we're going to begin reading up here in this 12th, about the 12th verse. And this is a wonderful promise here that comes. And this is Nathan is speaking to David, and it says up here in verse 4, "And it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, Go and tell my servant David." And so that's where we're at, and it's right here now as we look over to the 12th verse of that same chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 7. "And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the stripes of men, of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, and thy throne shall be established forever." Now, we look at this again. It was the Lord spoke to Nathan, and Nathan then was to go and tell David, this is what's coming. This is what's happening. And, David was not allowed to build the house of God that David wanted to build. But Solomon was able to do that. And so we know that, some of this refers to the building of the house of God, of the temple. Some of it's concerning Solomon, but ultimately it refers to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's go to Luke. Keep your hand and in Acts chapter 2, because we will continually return back there. But as we look up these many other scripture verses, and so let's look at Luke chapter 1, and we're going to go to the 30th verse. This will be a very common scripture for you, and we'll even start up here in verse 26 would be maybe a better place to begin. "In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. This that we have read here is a promise that was given back in 2 Samuel, over 1,000 years before, almost 1,100 years before. And so when God makes a promise, when he tells a truth, it does come to pass, and we have proof here. They understood, they knew the Messiah was to come, and it was to come through the lineage of David. There was no question. So each time that someone would speak of the Messiah, of the Savior, they would always look to see that it was connected with David, because they understood that part of it, that it was through the lineage of David. Now, we've got several verses of Scripture here that we're going to look up to confirm that. And so now, again, hold your place in Acts chapter 2, because we enjoy reading that as we have read concerning. Back to Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried in his sepulcher with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him, to David, that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Now, we have been now for some time with this message that Peter is preaching to the Jews on the day of Pentecost to show them who this Jesus that you crucified, he keeps saying, is your Savior, is Lord of Lords, is King of Kings. And it is in the line of David. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 12, verse 23. Matthew chapter 12, verse 23. Let me just start with verse 22 here. Then they brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb, and he healed him, insomuch that the blind and the dumb both spake and saw. And all the people were amazed and said, is not this the son of David? Let's look at verse 21. This is during the life of the Lord Jesus. They had so much evidence. Verse 9 of chapter 21, this is when Jesus came into Jerusalem. And the multitude that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the Son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Beautiful verses of Scripture confirming who he is. Chapter 22, Matthew. Matthew chapter 22, verse 42. Just read verse 41 even. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David. And he saith unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, How is he his son? No man was able to answer the word, neither dost any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Son of David. Mark, Matthew, Mark. Mark chapter 11. Verse 10. Mark chapter 11, verse 10. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Again, another acknowledgement of his entering in. What a beautiful message. Chapter 7 of Gospel of John. Let's go to the Gospel of John. John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 42. Hath not the scripture saith that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Once again, David. You see the problem? The problem comes because they were looking for a king, someone to save them, not from their sin, but from the bondage of Rome. They were looking for someone to deliver them from the bondage of Rome, from the burden of Rome. They were not looking for someone to save them from the slavery and the bondage of sin that they were all in. They were not looking for a Savior. Because you see, according to the Word of God, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It also tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You've got to acknowledge that you need a Savior. So you need to acknowledge that you're lost. And if you're lost, then you need to be saved. So please, recognize that today. Do not think that just to go to church and just to be baptized and to join the church and be active in the church and give your tithes and offerings to the church and all these things, that's enough, because it isn't. It's not enough. What you must do is acknowledge that you're a sinner before a righteous God. And the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, convicts your heart and shows you that you're a sinner and need a Savior. Please, please come by faith to the Lord Jesus. We're going to go back here to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to read verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment. That's verse 6 and 7. Of Isaiah chapter 9. They were looking for a king. David looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Savior. Acts chapter 15. Let's look forward here just a little bit. Acts chapter 15, beginning to read with verse 13. Acts 15:13. And after they had heard they had held their peace, James answered, saying, "Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this I will return, and I will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles unto whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Now it begins up here where it says, "And first did I visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets." What a wonderful text. You know, as we hear these words, James declares the coming out of the Gentiles, and agrees with the promises to Israel. It's a beautiful text of Scripture. Gentiles are not under the law. We have been set free because the Lord Jesus Christ has died on the cross. Israel asked for a king. They gave them Saul. I think it's important that we maybe would go back into the chapter here of 1 Samuel chapter 8. And we will begin with the 7th verse. 1 Samuel chapter 8, beginning to verse 7. Listen to this. "The Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even unto this day, wherewith they have forsaken me and served other gods, so do they also unto thee. Now therefore, hearken unto their voice. Howbeit, yet protest solemnly unto them, and show them the manner of the king that shall reign over them." You see, they didn't want the Lord to be their rule. They wanted some man to take care of them. And it's the same way today. Instead of us surrendering unto God and serving him, we would rather have some man take care of us. And it sounds much like the newspapers today. And the Lord was speaking to Samuel and said, "Samuel, don't be so concerned that they're not listening to you, because they're not listening to me." Look at verse 10. "Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that ask of him a king." They wanted to have a king instead of just the Lord being over them with the judges. And he said, "This will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. He will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and he will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will take your manservants and your maidservants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. Ye shall cry out in that day because of your king, which he shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, "Nay, but we will have a king over us. We that also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and give out and go out before us and fight our battles." Samuel heard all the words of the people, and he rehearsed them to the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, "Hearken unto their voice, make them a king." And Samuel said unto the men of Israel, "Go ye every man into his city." What a sad day. Look at the Lord had told the whole nation of Israel what was going to happen if you have a king. This is what's going to happen. "Why don't you let me fight your battles?" the Lord is saying. They didn't want that. They had looked across the way and saw kingdoms and nations next to them, and their king and their armies went out and fought for them. Said, "That's what we want." What a sad, sad day for the nation of Israel. Now, the purpose of reading all this, Saul, his kingdom was taken from him. This is the king that they got. They got Saul. Saul took everything from them. But God had mercy, and he anointed David. So Saul's kingdom was taken from him and from his descendants, and it was given to David. It was promised, and it stayed with the lineage of David. So that is the beginning of this promise that we find here in the second chapter of Acts. "For David speaketh concerning, I foreknew the Lord always before his face," verse 25. Verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, because you see everything that was spoken back here in Samuel, spoken in Isaiah, all this was brought forward, and it must come through David." They knew that. They knew that the lineage of David would come. It started with a king named Saul. He was a pathetic king. He was a controlling king. He was much like our governments today. They take everything from us, and they use it to their own honor and their own glory. That's what Saul did. But after God had shown them that, then he gave them David. And he said, "Through David will come your Messiah. become your Savior. So as we read these scripture verses and verse 30 again, therefore being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn an oath of him that the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. All of this was all about the coming Messiah. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. The point that Peter is making here is that this is the Christ. This is the one that was promised of David. Please see this. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?